I would also like to bring greetings from Grace Baptist Church in Daveyton and from the Township Reformation Brothers that we are working with them. It is such an honor and a privilege to be invited and to be able to speak in this conference. Actually, I received a message from Malawi. So Doug Van Meter, I didn't have my email address. So he sent the email to Newton. So it's Newton's fault who forwarded it to me. Because I was going to have a good excuse. I didn't receive the email. So Newton, you forwarded the email and he said, did you see that your name is there? I said, no, I didn't see. He forwarded the email. I agree with Vodi, who said to stand in this pulpit is not what we were dreaming of. You know, all the resolution we attended, which is loving to just come and sit and be fed the word of God. So to be asked and to come here and share the word of God, it is really such an honor indeed. However, it's also dangerous. Being thinking of coming here and sharing, I realize how dangerous it is because you are tempted to craft your sermon to tickle the reformer's ears. I realize that temptation that I need to tickle your ears or to say what you are expecting me to say. So I realize that there's a great danger of seeking to please men in our preaching. So then that's why I think we need to turn to God in prayer and ask His grace to help us at this time as we share His word. Let us bow and pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for the opportunity of sharing your word. I ask that may you give me a clarity of speech as I preach your word. May you fill me with your Holy Spirit to proclaim your word in boldness. May you help everyone who is present today to hear not my word, but your word. Not my voice, but your voice. Grant all of us your grace and ability to comprehend your word and to be able to apply it in our lives. We ask all of this in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are gathered here to celebrate the 500 years of Reformation. These were not years of men who have a strong belief. It was not years of men who were wise. It was not years of men who wanted attention. These were not years of men who wanted their name to be known. But this was the years of the revival of God. Now, Dr. John MacArthur, he puts it like this. The true power behind Reformation did not flow from any one man or group of men. To be sure, the reformers took bold stands and offered themselves as sacrifices for the cause of the gospel. But even so, the sweeping triumph of 16th century revival cannot ultimately be credited to either their incredibility acts of valor or their brilliant works of scholarship. No, the Reformation can only be explained by something far more profound, a force infinitely more potent than anything mere mortals could produce on their own. Dr. John MacArthur, he puts it clear that this was the work of God. This is what was done by God. A $1 million question, therefore, is, as Africans, are we able to discern the unseen hand of God? Are we able to see what is God doing specifically in Africa? The reformers were stirred up by God in their countries to bring such a change. But the question that we need to ask is, what is God doing in Africa? What is God doing in Africa? It is clear that God has called these men who have to leave aside their comfort, privileges, and to put their lives on the line. Then that is the question again we need to ask, to say, are we as Africans willing? Are we willing to die for the gospel that we proclaim? Or we are just happy coming to church and sit there, open the Bible, and go home and disappear? No one know about us. Even at work, while we are working, they don't even know that we are a Christian. They don't know. In school, they don't know that we are a Christian. At all. We always get messages, Pastor, I'm studying in Val. Is there any church in Val? Are you trying to tell us there's no Reformed students in Val? There's no students. So we're busy saying, Sasol back, go, Sasol back. Are we willing to put our line, our lives on the line? You will remember the most famous statement of Martin Luther when he has to defend what he believes. He says, unless I am convinced by scriptures and plain reason and not by popes and council who have so often contradicted themselves, my conscience is captive to the word of God. To go against the conscience is neither right nor safe. I cannot and I will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do other. God help me. God help me. I cannot change. God help me. Now the question that we need to answer, therefore, as we said, what is happening in Africa? So my question is, or my task, the question that I was given is, which solar is most needed in Africa today? Now I really wrestle with this, trying to find out from the solars, which one will we say this is most needed in Africa? So I had to send an email to my two favorite lecturers at the seminary, and they also share my pain, but they say if they were to be pushed to say pick one, they will pick Christ. And then with the privilege of social media, I send a message also to Charles Spurgeon. I ask him the very same question. Oh, I mean the Spurgeon of Africa, Conrad Mbewe. So his answer was, Africa needs all of the five solas. You probably have said it like him. He said, they need all of them. We can't pick and choose. They need all of the five solas. So, however, the organizers, they expect that I pick one. So, but you got the answer. We need all of them. But for the sake of what I am giving, we need to ask, therefore, that which one of these solars, that if we remove them, the five might be a bit shaking. Which one? Now you know the foundation of the solas is the scriptures. Because if we remove the scriptures from the solas, the grace that we are talking about, it becomes works. The right understanding of faith will be misinterpreted. If we remove scripture, Christ will be misunderstood. People will not understand the Christ of the Bible. They will still tell you, even Shembe is the way. Says who? In Africa. They will say, in South Africa, basically, Shembe is the way. Then says who? So if we don't have the scriptures, we will not be able to argue that no, Shembe, Lichanyana, the other famous prophets, Bushiri, Mboro, T.B. Joshua. That's where South Africans went, you remember? They love to go to Nigeria to T.B. Joshua. That's where they went. So we will not be able to say, these men, they are not the only way. Only Christ, he is the only way. Only Christ is the only way. So scripture is the foundation of the solace. Africa needs a biblical understanding of Christ. Who is Christ Jesus? It needs a biblical understanding. We need scriptures. We need the Bible. We need the Bible. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. I think there was a clock at the back, so the previous speaker asked them to turn it down. So they have turned it down. I'm not seeing it. And that is the problem. But I don't think it's a problem. After we've read Nehemiah, they stay there for 6 hours reading the scriptures, explaining the scriptures. So we are not having any problem. We'll need just to explain the word of God. Hebrews chapter 1, long ago, verse 1, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Now in this verse, I will argue that scripture alone is God's reliable voice. Scripture alone is God's reliable voice. Now, the reformers began with the issue of authority. Who is our final authority? Is it the Pope? Is it the Council? Is it the Church? Or is Scripture? This is a question that we need to ask in Africa as well. Who or what is our final authority? Is it the man of God? Is it prophet so-and-so? Is it a miracle worker? Is it a small, still voice? Is it uncles and aunties? Or is it your ancestors? Or is it scriptures? Who is our final authority? To answer this question, we need to pay attention to verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 1. The author of Hebrews looks back in history and he tells us that God has been speaking. God has been speaking. He spoke to our fathers. And for Africans, we need to explain because they might be thinking their ancestral worship. They think, yeah, you see, the God has been speaking to our fathers, so they will send the message to us. We must explain that. Who are these fathers? No, it's not your grandfather who's dead. He's not saying here when he says, God speak to our fathers. He's not referring to them. Who is he referring to? He's referring to the fathers of the faith, who probably Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph is probably referring to them. These fathers have received the message of God in through many ways, and in different ways, as you see in that verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophet. He spoke in many ways and in many times. Now, what we are saying is that our God is not a silent God. Our God is a speaking God. He speaks. He's been speaking in the past, and he's been speaking in the present. He's been speaking. This is what we call God's progressive revelation, as God is revealing his word to us. For example, if you look at the first five books of the Bible, in the Pentateuch, God, he spoke using a law. He was speaking to the people in the Pentateuch. Now, God, he didn't only spoke to the people, he spoke through history as well. God has been speaking. God is also not a boring God. He uses wisdom, literature, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. To us who are married, Song of Solomon. He's been speaking. God has been speaking. You cannot sit there and say, I don't know where to go. Song of Solomon is there. Young people who are here. Proverbs is there. To warn us how we're supposed to live our lives. He gives us Proverbs. God, he's been speaking. And the apostle Peter, what he tells us is that these men were not just speaking their ideas. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. They were not just speaking their ideas. It says, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter is saying the first important thing that you need to know is, how is the Scripture written? How was it written? Peter starts by a denial statement in that verse. Notice what it says. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture. This is what he's saying. He starts by telling us that, let's think about how many of Scriptures are people's own interpretation. And it says no prophecy of Scripture, it's human interpretation. It says none, not even a single one. Now, when you look at the 66 books of the Bible, not even a single one of them are man's opinion. Not even a single one of them. Then he's saying the source of their message is God. As the God has been speaking through them. God, the Holy Spirit, carries them along as they write to make sure that they don't make errors. Now, it's very important to explain that Scriptures doesn't have mistakes. It is the word of God, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Scripture is breathed out by God. It's from the mouth of God. That's what it means. Now, if the all-knowing God is the one who has spoken through the Scriptures, then the Scriptures, they are without error. God cannot say something wrong. He cannot. He's the all-knowing God. He cannot make a mistake. Therefore, the inerrancy of Scripture is based on who God is. Who God is. Anyone who does not honor the Scriptures does not honor God. You cannot claim to honor someone and at the very same time despise his voice. You are not honoring that person. Now that's why Paul will tell us when he talks about the church of Thessalonica. You remember as he talked about this exemplary church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13. He says, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of man, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you, believers. Which pastor can say that about his members?
Which pastor can say, I thank God that when you received the word of God, you didn't receive it as the word of pastor so-and-so, but you have received it as what it truly is, the word of God. Now, that does not mean, therefore, that you don't have to test the word as it's preached. It does not mean that. You know, someone will say, okay, we'll say, that saith the man of God, I don't have to question the man of God, I must assume it's the word of God. No, the Bible rebukes us. It tells us we need to be testing in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Now Paul says, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Can you say this is what you do? Can you say you examine the scripture daily and to see that these things were so? But there's a part that we normally miss in that verse. We always talk about, now it's very important that we examine, we test, and we see whether these things are so. But we miss the part of receiving it with all eagerness, with all readiness. This is the word of God. You know, you'll see when the president is giving his speech. You know, we have a very good president. You know, he always smiles, you know. But you see people serious and taking notes and listening to his word. Oh, but when the word of God is preached, you see people being sleeping and checking their times and standing up and sitting down. That's what you've been seeing. They are not receiving the word of God with all eagerness to say, this is not the word of man, this is the word of God. Going back to what our pastor, our brother was saying earlier on, this is not a white man religion, the word of a white man. Or this is not, this black pastor. No, this is the word of God through these men, whether they are black or they are white or they are Indians or Asians. This is the word of God. This is how God speaks to us. This is how God speaks to us. So these believers, they receive it with all readiness, with all eagerness as they receive the word of God. This is truly the word of God. Now we need to ask this question, do you honor God's word like that? Now as the preacher, do you remind yourselves that you are not just preaching your ideas or wisdom, but the word of God? We are preaching the word of God. We are not preaching our new ideas in town. We are preaching the word of God. We are saying, thus saith the Lord, when we're looking at the scriptures. And that is the same question to those who sit and listen to the word. Now you see people today, they are running for prophecies. Just running for a man to tell you that your name is Chris. I don't need someone to remind me I'm Chris. My name is Chris. You are Chris. You are married to him. I know that information. So what? And now people say, this man, he even knows your name. So what? Even my grandmother is not a Christian. He knows my name. You don't need to be a Christian to know my name. Unbelievers knows your name. They know your name. But that's what people they are running for. And say they want this to hear these words. I like the Puritans when talks about the word of God. And they will bring an argument. And they will say to them, if whatever you are prophesying is not in line with the word of God, we're not going to take it. And you know, people, they can play around that, right? And then they change and they say, okay, whatever we are prophesying is the word of God. Then they say, we don't have them to listen to you. We can just read the Bible. If you are saying exactly what the Bible is saying, so why should we worry? Let's just read the Bible. That's how they will argue the issue. Now,
Friends, we can only say thus saith the Lord when we preach the Bible, and it's our responsibility to be honest in the scriptures as we preach, and those who listen to the word of God holding us accountable to be faithful to the word of God. Only God's message is superior to the message of anyone who calls himself a prophet, a man of God, or an apostle. As long as they are not bringing the message of the scriptures, they should not be listened to. They should not. Now, Martin Luther, on this point, as looking the word of God, he says this. He says, whenever you hear anyone boast, because that's what they all do, they boast. He says, whenever you hear anyone boast, he has something by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it has no basis in God's word. No matter what it may be, tell him that this is the work of the devil. He also continued to say, whatever does not have its origin in the scriptures is surely from the devil himself. These are the men we are looking at and we are quoting. Now, Pastor John MacArthur, on his book Strange Fire, he says on this issue to those who seek extra revelation apart from scriptures, he says this, he says, I quote, that kind of thinking is an outright rejection of the authority and the sufficiency of scriptures. It is recipe for far-reaching theological disaster. That is what he says. And now, in my interest, I wanted to follow this argument and say, I wonder, my continuationist brothers, how are they preaching Hebrews chapter 1? I was out of curiosity. I want to know. And I listened to Pastor John Piper, you know, respect him. And as he looks this verse, he says, you know, sometimes we crave to hear audible voice of God. Then he says, God rebukes me by reminding me that his word is enough. He says, it reminds me that. I'm like, okay, at least we agree that the word of God is foundational. Having said that, let us look at how a right understanding of Scripture helps us to appreciate Christ, who is the only mediator. Let us look at that. Let me give you a few reasons as we look at this passage that is before us. Notice in verse 2, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. Now in the past God was speaking to the fathers through the prophets, but in these last days God has been speaking to us through his Son. Now, the only voice that is recognized by God, that will be point number two. Christ alone is God's recognized voice of God. Christ alone is God's recognized voice of God. Now, God today is not using prophets. He's not using the apostles. He's not using so-called men of God. But God is using his Son, that is his voice that he's using. Now, what does it mean that Christ is the Son of God? Now, Christ is the Son of God, not like me and you as we are sons of God. Now, to understand why Christ is not a Son of God like me and you, we need to find out from the Jews. Because this language comes from them, then they understand. What was their understanding of being a Son of God? Now in John chapter 5, verse 18, John gives us a light here. He says, this was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. And he's talking about Christ. Why they wanted to kill him? Because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. That is the commentary. What does it mean that he's the Son of God? He's making himself equal with God. Now, according to the Jews, to be a Son of God, as Christ was claiming, it means he is equal with God. That it means he is God. Now, in the past, God uses the prophets as his recognized voice.
And the Holy Spirit helped them to write the Old Testament down for us. That was the voice of the prophets. He's there. In these last days, Christ is the only recognized voice of God. That's what the New Testament is about. It's about Christ, the New Testament voice of God. Any other voice are not recognized. They are not. You know, in African Parliament, they say, you are not recognized. They say, sit down, you are not recognized. Anyone who seeks to stand and speak apart from the voice of God, sit down, you are not recognized. You are not recognized. Now, hence, Paul will say, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles in 1 Corinthians 1:23. Now, to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2:2, he says, I determine to know nothing among you except Christ crucified. Therefore, God is speaking in these last days by his Son. God's Son is the message of the last days. Anyone who preaches any message except Christ, he must be anathema, says Paul in Galatians 1 verse 6. He must be cursed. Do you remember that? He says, if you bring another message apart from the message of Christ, apart from the gospel, you must be anathema. You must be cursed. Now let us look at these reasons. What are these reasons, therefore? Reasons why Christ is the only recognized voice in the 21st century. I can say that. God has spoken in many ways through prophets, but in these last days, he speaks only through Christ and through Christ alone. The question is why? What makes Christ a better voice? What makes Christ a final authority? What makes Christ a better prophet, if you like? What makes Christ better than dreams and vision? According to the author of Hebrews, what makes Christ better is who he is. Is who he is. Notice in verse 2. Christ is the inheritor of all things. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. He is the heir of all things. That word, the heir, it means an inheritor or a possessor of all things. This means everything is under Christ's control. The author of Hebrews put it like this in verse 8. Putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. Now in Psalms 2, verse 8, the psalmist says, ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. Christ himself says, all authority has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth he's been giving to me. He is the inheritor of all things. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20, the Bible says there's no voice or rule or authority or power or dominion or name that is above Christ's name. There's no name that is above Christ's name. What kind of a name are you having? Do you have a well-respected name? Jesus is above that name. Do you have a name of a preacher that you respect? Jesus' name, it's above that name. Therefore, Africans need to know that no name is above Christ. You may call it your ancestors. It's not above Christ. Your prophet is not, man of God, or your daddy. It's not above Christ. They are not. You might not understand in our townships, when they say daddy, they're not referring to your children, they are calling you daddy. No, pastors are called daddy. They say, this is my daddy. Okay. Now, second reason. What makes Christ a recognized voice in the 21st century? Because Christ is the creator of the universe. Notice again,
in Hebrews 1, 2, where we are reading, through whom also he created the world. The word world, it means ages. Christ is the creator of the whole universe. John says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Apostle Paul concurs with John. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. All things were created through Christ, and all things were created for Christ, and Christ owns everything. He created everything. As you study the Bible in Genesis 1, in the beginning God created everything. In the beginning Christ created everything. He created all. Oh, we are now told today that, oh, you can also create. That's what we are being told. You see people going around and say they can create a man in your bank. Have you ever heard that? That they can create a money in your bank. And you get a red maroon and you fight. No, it's impossible. No. No, me, I don't struggle. I say, no problem. If pastor, you can create money in your bank, no problem, okay? Then let's continue, let's preach. You create a money in your bank, that's fine. Then you will preach, and then there comes the time of offering. You say, point of order, pastor. Go back. I will ask the church to stand up and we'll create a money in your bank account. Let's use that reasoning. No, don't worry, pastor. I'm not going to give you a gift. I will just create a gift in your bank account. That's what I'm going to do. You can pray for me, but the gift? No, I will send it in your bank account. I will pray. You trust God, pastor, can create, right? I mean, I can create. I've got power, pastor. I agree. I've got power to create. Yes, pastor. And now when they want these beautiful cars and jets, point of order. Pastor, go in your parking lot. We have created that beautiful car. In Jesus' name, we believe in Jesus' name. Let's all say it in Jesus' name. Pastor, please go outside. The car is waiting for you. Oh, my friend, they will be angry at you because they know it doesn't work like that. They don't believe their own gospel. They don't believe their own gospel. Now we're trying to bring an African pastors' conference to our area, and now to my disappointment, they cancel it because they overcharge people. And we are saying they overcharge people. So I'm trying to ask them why they cancel the conference, and they say, "Yeah, no, this it's like some people we need to." Give more money on this and so on and so forth. I'm like, that shouldn't be a problem. Money shouldn't be a problem. How can you now speak? How can you lack faith? Because you must be positive. Say you have money, pastor. Don't say money is a problem. No. That statement is not in line with your preaching. It's not in line. I'm telling you, the conference is canceled due to those reasons. Oh, friends, only God can create. I will say to you, show me someone who has created a sun next to the Son of my God. Show me someone who created a moon next to the moon of my God. Show me someone who has created the stars, the seas, the ocean next to the stars, the seas, the oceans of my God. Point someone who has done that. No one. No one. Only God can create. Let's write the third reason why Christ is the only recognized voice in the 21st century. Because Christ is the radiance of the glory of God. In verse 3, he is the radiance of the glory of God. The word radiance, it means the brightness or the light. Christ is the only one who displays God's glory. What is the glory of God? What is the glory of God? Dr. Steve Lawson is actually helping us in this point. I mean, he described it in two ways. He looks at intrinsic glory and ascribe glory. He says the intrinsic glory is who God is. It is the totality of his attributes. Then on the other hand, to ascribe glory to God, it means to live in a manner that praises and worship God. Living in a manner that praises and worship God. And we have talked about that. Whatever you do, whether you eat or you drink, do it for the glory of God. That's how we have to live our lives. However, Christ is the one who reveals the glory of God, the attributes of God. Now we know the devil seeks to rob God his glory by raising false preachers who do false signs and wonders. Since Africans, they are afraid of witchcraft and the curses of ancestors, they ascribe glory to these men. And they are afraid. Christians are very afraid of witchcraft and curses. They are very afraid. They think everything that goes wrong, they think ancestors are not happy. They are very afraid. And they still come to church. And they are fine. But if anything goes wrong, they are very afraid. And then they will ascribe the glory to that. And we need to say, if you do that, if you exalt these people, you are robbing God of his glory. You are robbing God of his glory. The fourth reason, Christ is the exact imprint of God's nature. The exact imprint of his nature. This means Christ is the image of God in 2 Corinthians 4:4. Now, this does not mean Christ is the image of God like Adam and Eve. Now, you'll remember Adam and Eve before the fall. Before they sinned, they were created in the image of God. But that does not mean Christ is the image of God like that. Adam and Eve, they didn't have all the attributes of God even before a fall. That is why Adam and Eve, they didn't know actually that the devil is lying. If you eat this tree, you're not going to be wise. They were not going to be deceived if they knew. If they knew that, they were not going to be deceived. Only Christ has all the attributes of God. He is the true image of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Christ. This is what makes Christ different from all other religious leaders. They were all human. He is divine. They were all created. He is the creator. Let us rush to the fifth reason why Christ is God's recognized voice in the 21st century. Christ upholds the universe by the word of his power. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. That word uphold, it means to bear or to carry. It means Christ carries the universe by himself. Christ does not need anyone to help him to carry the universe. Christ is not carrying the universe like a man who is carrying a heavy load, who is tired. He is not carrying it like that. In the beginning, Christ created the universe and it's standing the way it is. Christ is not renovating the universe once in a while and saying, it's not looking beautiful, let me go and renovate it once in a while. Christ is not doing that. Christ said to the universe, stand still. In the beginning, it is still standing, even today. He's not waking up every day and say, universe, may you please stand still. Universe, I'm commanding you, stand still. Christ is not doing that. He said it once and for all. He doesn't have to repeat it again. He doesn't have to say it a thousand of times. He doesn't have to say it a thousand of times. He said it once, and the universe obeyed him. Said it once, and it obeyed him. If Christ holds the universe by the words of his power, what about your life? Your life is not too complicated for him. It is not too deep in sin that his power won't reach you. It is not dedicated to ancestral worship that his power will not deliver you. Right.
So what is the God of the whites? Because when we say ancestral worships, the whites, Brother Chris, tell them. Oh, friends, maybe it's loving money. Maybe it's just loving money. And Christ, friends, you are not deep in just loving money that Christ won't be able to rescue you. Your life is not hopeless, that Christ cannot give you hope in Christ. Only Christ's power encourages us who minister in hard places. His power reminds us that it is not our power or our skills or our strategies that will change the lives of people, but it is the power and his power alone. Now Christ encourages, his power encourages to live in peace. In places where we really don't know what is going to be happening. In places like South Africa, as my brother was saying earlier on, where we were hurt by racism and we've got all griefs, and Christ comes and say, forgive, forgive, forgive. He comes and say, forgive. And he comes and say, ask forgiveness. That's Christ's power. Is able to change even Africa. As Pastor Ronald alluded yesterday, as we were talking, that Africa has been in dark, so we need to keep on preaching the gospel that is the light of God, to shine the light of the gospel until it is dawn in villages, in townships, in cities, in suburbs. We need to keep on shining on the light of Christ. We need to keep on shining on the light of Christ. Now, the last reason why Christ is the only voice recognized in the 21st century, because Christ's work is done. Notice the last part of that verse. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Christ's sacrifice is better than the sacrifice that were done before him. Christ's sacrifice didn't cover sins as the sacrifices of goats and bulls were doing. Christ's sacrifice removed sin. Christ's sacrifice is better than the sacrifices of the high priest and all who came before him and after him. No priest ever sat in the Holy of Holies. All priests will do their work and leave as soon as possible. But Jesus sat down after his sacrifice. Jesus' sacrifice was enough. It was done once and for all. Priests has to do sacrifices daily and yearly for the sins of people. Only Jesus' blood is enough to wash away the sins of people. Africans does not need to sacrifice goats anymore. They don't need to sacrifice cows anymore. The death of Christ was enough. African does not need to trust in men for their partial deliverance. They don't need to do that. Christ's deliverance, it's enough. It's enough. It has been said that all other religions say, do, do, do. But it is only Christianity that says, it is done. It is done. It is done. Therefore, Africans does not need scripture plus our tradition, Christ plus prophet, and so on and so. Africans need to hear the true voice of God. Only biblical Christ is the recognized voice of God. Only God who says about Christ, this is my beloved son, listen to him. Do you remember those words? This is my beloved son, listen to him. Have you heard the voice of God this morning since we started on Thursday? Oh, my friends, if you long to hear the audible voice of God, read your Bible loud. Do not be deceived by liars who claim that they have heard the voice of God apart from scriptures. Only Christ is the word that was in the beginning. Only Christ's words, they are for they are life and spirit. In John 6:63, he says, "My words are life and spirit." Only Christ's words. They give life and they give spirit. That's why you see us, we keep on referring to the Bible. Only Christ's words are life and spirit. Not our wisdom. These are the words that Peter says, "To whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life." Do you remember that story? He says, "To whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life." The psalmist says, "They are sweeter than honey," in Psalms 119, 103. And he continued to say, "And they are more desirable than silver and gold." Did you hear that, brothers? More desirable than silver and gold. As I've got my friend who lives in KZN, and as we're going, I mean, he took me on trip and I was going with him. And we're walking around in the streets of America. And he said, "You see all these beautiful houses, all these beautiful cars, all what these people are having, they are just worshiping them. You in Africa, you are worshiping the ancestral worship. These people here, their God is money." Oh, but the psalmist says, "His word are more than silver and gold." Can you say that? Can you say that? Can you say, "His word are more than silver and gold"? Only Christ's words are able to transform the lives of people. Oh, my friends, have you believed in this Christ? Have you believed in this Christ? I am not asking you, my friend, that how many resolution conferences have you attended? I'm not asking you that. I'm not also asking you that, do you believe in the doctrine of grace? I'm not asking you, whether are you reformed or do you keep on reforming? I'm also not asking you whether are you baptized. I'm not asking you, my friend, whether is your father a pastor. That's not what I'm asking you. I'm not asking you. My question is, have you heard the voice of Christ from the scriptures? If your answer is yes, my next question is, have you believed in what it says? Oh, my friends, when this book is open and read, and preaches, and preaching from it in churches, Christ is speaking. When you read this book, Christ is speaking. Have you been listening to him? Or have we become dull of hearing, like the people of the Hebrews? Have we become dull of hearing and say, "Bring another keynote, well-known speaker. We just want someone to come and tickle our reformed ears." Or we say, "Bring the book," like the people as we look at Nehemiah, and say, "Bring the book." They don't say, "Bring another well-known speaker. Bring the book. Bring the book. Bring the book." Is this what we are saying in Africa? Are we longing for a book, or we are longing for another Sangoma who is greater than another one? Are we longing for a book? Are we crying for the Bible and say, "Send us someone who will preach the word. Send us someone who will preach the word"? We need to thank God for the organizing team of this conference. As they put all these names, I'm looking like, these people don't know anyone. That building will be empty. That building will be empty. Who are all these people? That building will be empty. But only people who say, "We want God's word. We want God's word." So that's why we're asking, friends, that we need to believe in this Jesus Christ. Now, if you haven't believed in this Jesus Christ, friends, please come to him.
come to you. Now, you can come to Jesus Christ. You can come Nicodemus' way. You know how Nicodemus came? He came by night. You can come. Even if it's by night, this Jesus is not going to look at you and say, it's too late now. I'm off. No. If you come, he will not turn you away. He will not. Come in faith, my friend. Come in faith in this Christ. If Nicodemus was accepted, imagine if I was Jesus. Sometimes I read the Bible. I say, Jesus, Nicodemus was there when we were speaking. Say, but Nicodemus, you heard me. Why you didn't repent there? No, Nicodemus, no. You're wasting my time. No, he didn't. It doesn't matter also how great your sins are. Only the Savior can forgive you your sins. And people say, accept him. No. Accept him of what? It doesn't need to be accepted by you. You need to be accepted. You are the one who have sinned against him. You need to be crying, would you accept me as well? That is your cry. Not to say, do you want to accept him? You should be crying and say, would you accept me as well? Would you accept me as well? I've been a black racist, maybe. Okay, because even black, they're racist, right? Maybe I've been like that and saying, would you also accept me? Maybe you've been causing havoc in his family. You know, and say, would you accept me as well? Will you accept me? He will not turn anyone who comes to him in faith. Amen.